Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. I think we should still stay a little bit on Roman numeral 1. I think it's important, especially concerning the building of the body of Christ, the church. First of all, Paul tells us the church is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The church must be filled with Christ. Can I be filled with any other thing? No. Not with activities, not with fundraising, not with whatever we are doing today. But a church is exclusively Christ, the body of Christ. So here we have that very wonderful point. The body of Christ, the fullness of Him. That's in chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. We need definitely to be filled with Christ. That is why in chapter 3 it says we need to be strengthened in our inner man. The spirit has to be strengthened. This part of our being is called the inner man, because now Christ and the Spirit dwells here. And if this part is strengthened, then Christ will make His home here in your heart. According to the revelation in the Scriptures, this part is called the heart, plus one part, which is our conscience. So, it is not easy for Christ to fill your heart, because many times you don't want to. You want to have your liberty. You want to do your own thing. You have your own life you want to live. So, many people, although they are saved and born again, so when you're born again, for the sake of some of the young ones, here is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Which is also the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit. Which is also the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. So, the Spirit of God enters into your spirit. And we are joined unto the Lord. We become one spirit with Him. Praise the Lord for that. But then, God's desire is to dwell in this part. And this is the hard part. Because you want to keep your own liberty. You love what you want to love. You still love the world. You choose what you want to do. When the Lord says, come, let's have some fellowship. You said, sorry, I'm busy. Busy doing what? I'm playing video games. I'm busy. So the Lord says, come, but you said you're busy. So, you're busy. Right? So the Lord cannot dwell in this part. That shows that the Lord is not yet ruling there or dwelling there. And many times, especially our mind just roams around. Right? So here, the Bible tells us, for us to be filled with Christ, the Lord has to enter into this part. This is important, day by day. And for the Lord to enter into this part, it takes the life within your spirit. And so, Paul prayed that by the Holy Spirit, our inner man will be strengthened so that Christ can make His home in our heart. And if our inner man is strengthened, then we can gain Christ. We can apprehend Christ altogether. And this process of Christ dwelling in your heart, ruling there. He will rule in your life. This process is in Romans 5 called salvation. Salvation by His life. L-I-F-E. You remember the bone? Yes. The rib. So, not just reconciled to Christ by His death on the cross, but now that His life enters into you, day by day, you're being saved by His life. And now this salvation needs your cooperation. For the initial salvation, it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, let me just read to you. We can all read it together. In verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, praise the Lord. The initial salvation is definitely not by works. It is by grace. It is the gift of God given to you. So salvation is by faith. So this salvation by faith in Ephesians chapter 8 is that this Spirit of God is given to you freely by grace, just by your believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you accept Christ into you. This is by faith. Very simple. You don't have to do anything. It's a gift. If I want to give you a gift, Johan, do you have to do anything to earn it? No. It's just because I like you. And I love you. And you're my nephew. So, give you a gift. Do you have to work for it if it's a gift? No. No need to work for it. It's a gift of God. So, and you cannot work for it anyway. Right? Only the Lord is qualified to die on a cross for all of us. So, it is by grace, through faith, it is a gift of God. So you can't work for it. So don't try to work for it, okay? You can't work for it. And you can't pay for it. So by faith you receive this wonderful Spirit into you. Now Christ dwells in you, the Spirit. But that's just the initial step. The further step is much more. So Romans chapter 5 tells us, let's go to Romans 5. Verse 10, verse 9 and 10, let me just read to you. Well, verse 8, let's start in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. And much more then, having now been justified by His blood, because He shed His blood to cleanse you and to forgive all of your sins, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And then verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, now there is much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now His life, remember, comes into you. And when Christ comes into you, He has a lot of work to do. Don't you think so? Right? I think all of us can testify. The Lord has a lot of work to do in me. In you, in every one of us. Because we are still rebellious in ourselves. We still say no to Him. We still say why. And we have our own choice. We make our own decision. We We still have a lot of problems. So much more, meaning to say this life has much more work to do within you and me. And this work of Christ is to fill us with Himself. But the Lord will not force you, because He respects our freedom, our will. So He needs your cooperation. And this is very important for us to learn day by day to cooperate more and more with Him. I think many of us can testify, many years ago we would definitely say no to Him. But a few years later, now we say amen more quickly. Right? I can testify, today I say amen more quickly to Him than 10 years ago. And even more quickly than 20 years ago. And even more so than 40 years ago. My reaction to the Lord is much more quicker today. If the Lord says something, I would say, amen, Lord. Go ahead. Right, let's do it. Our reaction to Him become faster and faster. So this is much more saved by His life. Why? In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, when man is created, this body is created with what? With dust. It's clay. So, this is clay. Oh, sorry. Clay. This is clay. So, don't call your son's name Clayton. By clay. Clay. So here, you can really see it's already not that great because it's dust. And what more, when sin came in to the body, it makes it worse. So, first of all, it's already made of dust. And then secondly, sin came in. And with sin, death dragged along here. Death came in with sin. So right now, this part is terrible. This part is called in the Bible, now it becomes the flesh. The flesh. So it's not very good. It's not very good. So that's why today the human being has a big problem. And the more we distance ourselves from the Lord, the deeper the fall is. So you can see in the history of mankind, men continue to fall deeper and deeper and deeper. Just like if you're sick, you have some kind of a bacteria in you, if you don't take care of it, it grows in you. And pretty soon, if you still don't take care of it, it spreads in you. And afterwards, when you finally decided to take care of it, it's too late. So, this is what happens in Genesis chapter 1, all the way to chapter 6, we're going to see later on, man became so fallen during the time of Noah that there was no choice for God but to destroy the world at that time by flood. I think in the Philippines, now you realize how terrible the flood could be. Right? It covers really everything. It's getting worse and worse. During my time in the Philippines, I've never seen any flood that came to the second floor. At most, it's up to here. Right? And we thought, well, it's lots of fun. My goodness, how many years later, now the flood goes up to second floor. And even worse. Right? So you can realize that from Genesis chapter 3, when sin came in, man began to fall from this point up to the lowest point at the time of Noah. So this is why today we need salvation. This salvation is by His life here, so that Christ will come in. Not only here, but Christ will make His home in your heart. The church will be the fullness of Him who filled all in all. Who filled all the saints today. So without Christ filling us, there is no way for us to build the church. There's no way. Right? And here, it says the church being the body of Christ, of course Christ being the head of the body, and each member must grow up into the head in all things. You need to learn that. That is not an easy task. Because we want to be our own head. Even just submitting to one another, it is so difficult. It is not so easy. Right? So the building up of the body of Christ needs a lot of salvation, a lot of cooperation on our part. Then there's other one point in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Let us go to Ephesians 4, verse 16. Okay? But speaking the truth in love, let's read it all together. May grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So Christ is the head. Don't take anybody else as the head. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The edifying means building. I would prefer to use the word building, because it really is a building. So here, the building requires, firstly, that each one of us grows up into the head in all things. Then out of the head, all the members will be fitly framed together. Look at the members of your body. Are they loosely framed? It will be terrible if all of your skeletons are dangling. You'll be walking like this. And you won't be able to do anything because your structure is not fitly framed. And it's fitly framed by all the muscles and tendons. Every part of your body is held together wonderfully by life. If the life is gone, then you should use other means to hold it together. But hey, it's not good. It's not good. Your body is held together by what? What holds your body together? By life. Suppose I died all of a sudden. You think my body is going to hold together? Within 28 hours, 29 hours, my body will begin to disintegrate. And day after day is going to turn into dust. And then finally it's just dead bones separated from each other. Right? So, what is going to hold the members of your body together? It is the life of Christ. It's not by organization. No. One publication. No, you can only read our books. You try to hold people by that. Or by strong control. By, I don't know, what kind of a means you want to hold the members together. By threatening. By so many other things. People use a lot of ways to hold the members together. And finally, it still falls apart. No. The living church of Christ is not held together by anything else, but by this wonderful rib with the life and the strength of this life. That is the only thing in the church life that can cause us to be held together. Nothing else. Nothing else. So, don't trust in anything else. And so, if you want to do that, you need to grow up in all things firstly into the head. Who is the head? Christ is the unique head of the church. Only He is qualified to be the head. Right? No deputy head. No, don't believe that anybody else is qualified to be the head of the body. Who is qualified to be the head of your body? This. Only this. There's no deputy. Right? No deputy. The husband is the head of the wife. Right? Are you the head of your wife? Yes. Do you need a deputy? That's not very good if you have a deputy. No need. Why in the church life we think we need a deputy authority? Why? Who is the deputy authority of the church? Only Christ. But not just objectively, it has to be subjectively. You need to learn to grow up into the head in all things. Ask Him. What should I do? You ask Him. Follow Him. Grow up into Him. Meaning to say, it's a matter of life. You grow into Him. So the more this life within you works, the more salvation you have, the more you grow into the head. You will automatically just follow what the Lord says and not just what any man says. No. So in this wonderful relationship between the body and Christ as the head, or the husband as the head of the wife, and the wife being the church, the bride of Christ, there is no need of deputy authority. No. In fact, it's no good if there is the deputy authority. If there is another authority that comes between you and your wife, that's bad news. Don't you all believe? Yes, definitely. Let me ask, Anna, do you want a deputy authority? Do you need a deputy? No need. If the mother-in-law becomes a deputy, oh my goodness, everything will fall apart. Everything will fall apart. No. Between a husband and a wife, there is no deputy in between. Just like between Christ and His church. God has appointed Christ to be head over all things to the church. This is what the Word of God says. And that is the only way that all the members can be fitly framed together. In a wonderful way. In a living way. Now, if there is no more life in a church life, then everything will fall apart. Then you have to use these ways and that method, men's authority. You have to use so many ways to keep things together. By force. And if you take away that force, definitely it's going to fall apart. Right? And then it says here, the body builds itself up in love. The real building up of the church is that there is the love and care amongst one another. No. Not by any other means. Not by anybody's ministry or not by anybody's ways and methods. No. It's not going to build up anybody. But the love of Christ. That is the unique way the Lord is going to build up His body. Praise the Lord. So we really need to see the way the Lord is going to build up Eve. Remember, it's His Eve. And then you can see the church being the bride and Christ being the unique husband. And believe me, He's a very jealous husband. He would not allow anything to come between Him and His church. Christ loves the church. And the church being fully submissive to Christ as the head, being without spot or wrinkle, being holy and without blemish, and being a glorious bride. There is truly the expression of Christ. Doesn't mean that a church becomes God, no. But the church will be the very expression of Christ Himself. Praise the Lord. Right? So we all need to see this. It is a great mystery. Now, let's go to the second point. The building of the ark. This is the second type of building work done by God. And that is the time, at the time of Noah. Don't think it's not relevant to us. Okay, let us read Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. As we have seen from Genesis chapter 3 to 6, in a short period of time, the fall of man became terrible. Became really terrible. I don't even need to go into details concerning the fall because that's not a point here. Beginning in verse 5, let me read. Or let's read together. Okay, 5 to 9, let's read together. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amidst all the corruption in this world, there is Noah and his family. This is really wonderful. Of course, it's the minority. It's very much the minority. But God will never overlook that. So it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because he's so capable. Not because he's so great. Not because he is, had a wonderful gift, but because he was a just man. God doesn't judge according to our judgment. Many times we look at people and we see how capable is a person. But for God, it is not a matter of being capable and how much you know about the Bible. No. For God, the most important thing is righteousness. Righteousness. For Him, this is very important because God is holy and God is righteous. So Noah found grace because he was a just man. Remember this. The whole earth was full of unrighteousness, wickedness, terrible things. And here it says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. What a wonderful life. He walked with God. Those who follow the Lamb, wherever he goes, he walked with God. Never forget these three things. A just man, perfect in his generation. Definitely, I wouldn't say perfect before God, because before God, nobody is perfect. But compared to his generation of such wickedness, he was perfect. He didn't do what everybody else was doing. And he walked with God. This is very important today. So what we need today is this kind of a living in a church life. This is what we need. Now, don't think that the days of Noah was irrelevant to us. Nope. Let us read, and somebody can read Matthew chapter 24, 37 to 51. Please. Right. Matthew chapter 24. Let us all turn to 24, 37 to 51. Maybe you can stand up and read it slowly to all of us. Yeah. Please. Yes. Go ahead.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
Oh, say that again.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be.
How was it in the days of Noah? Full of wickedness. Full of unrighteousness, full of violence, terrible. And, of course, we didn't have the time to read, not just as the days of Noah, but as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you look at the whole world today. Oh, don't sit down yet. Thank you. You can see the violence today, and my goodness, the gay movement, for example, the homosexual movement. These are the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And even legalizing same-sex marriage. How terrible. How can a man marry a man? Even they want to change the law in the United States. It used to be marriage is defined as the union between a man and a woman. They want to change that. To change between a person and a person. Oh my goodness. Right. They even want to change the law. It's not natural anymore. Things are changing today in our time. And the Bible definitely, the Word of God condemns this. The Word of God condemns this. Right? So, continue to read. Yeah.
For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking.
Now, why is it that he didn't mention about those terrible things? Because the Lord is referring and talking to the believers. The true believers will not be doing what the world is doing. Okay, full of violence and Sodom and Gomorrah and all these terrible things, wickedness and all these things. But what will the believers be doing?
Eating and drinking.
My goodness. You go to all the restaurants today, they're all full. Right? All the restaurants, especially if they are good. My. Right? Okay, and then?
Marrying and giving in marriage.
marrying and giving in marriage. Continue.
Until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Right. And in another place it says buying and selling. Everybody is so involved in all this personal life. So involved. Eating and drinking. Enjoyment. Right. And buying and selling, marriage, given to marriage, the family, family life, and everything is just so important to us. Right? Until what?
Until the day that Noah entered the ark.
Until the day that Noah entered the ark, and then?
And he did not know until the flood came.
The flood came. The judgment came. Now, which judgment is that? It's the judgment when the Lord is coming. Now, for some of the young people, let me just share this with you. Let me just draw it here. I'm going to just draw this here. We are living today. Let's say this is today, okay? This is today. You're here, 2012. We don't know when the Lord is coming here. When is the Lord coming? We don't know. But the Bible tells us, and I'm going to draw it closer to here, that the time of the Lord's coming is not that He's just going to come in and there He is, but there is going to be the last 7 years. This is going to be the last 7 years here. 7 years. And the mark of when the Lord will come will be the peace treaty in the Middle East. There's going to be the peace treaty. And the Jews will restart their offerings. They will sacrifice their offerings to God once again. So, this time, we don't know when. Nobody knows. But everybody's looking for that solution today. I don't know when it's going to happen. Do you? Nobody knows. But I can tell this to you. It's going to happen very soon. It's going to happen maybe in the next 15 years, I don't know. No. No need. No need. I can give you a few very clear reasons why, but perhaps not now. Otherwise, it'll take too long. We only have a few more minutes. But afterwards, maybe we will share about it tonight, just briefly. So, but that doesn't matter whether it's going to be built or not, because it's just a matter of sacrificing. And for the sacrificing, they just need to have the right place. And all they need is the place to build the altar and to build a little sanctuary. And that sanctuary, according to the tabernacle, could just be the wall up to this place. And maybe to this point, they just need this space. The main thing is the right spot. So, and the important thing for them to do is the sacrifice. Because Daniel chapter 9 tells us in the middle of the 7 years, that beast will stop the sacrifice. So the sacrifice is the most important thing. So here we'll mark the beginning of the last 7 years. And that could happen anytime in the next 15, 20 years. I don't know how many is. I don't think it's going to be longer. Because the world cannot last that long anymore. Okay? So, when that happens, it's going to be the last 7 years. You can count your years. It's going to be 7 more years on this earth. And in the middle of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years here, 3.5 years, there is going to be a time of judgment. The great tribulation is going to happen here. The great tribulation is going to happen. for 3.5 years, just like the flood in the time of Noah. It's going to be terrible on this earth in the last 3.5 years, which is going to happen here in the last 3.5 years. And this is just like the flood. The flood. It's nothing like Andoy. It's worse. It's going to be 10,000 times worse or more. It's indescribable. So, and the Lord warned us concerning the day of His coming. So, what are you going to do? How are you going to be saved from this coming flood? How are you going to be saved? By? What is the ark? What is the ark today? What is the ark today? So here you can see the way is to build the ark. You're right. Another building. It's another kind of building here. There in Genesis chapter 2, you have the building of Eve, which is more simple. Right? Adam just have to go to sleep, take a rip, bum, 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 and when you woke up, Eve was there. But Noah, it took certainly certain length of time. Nobody knows how long it took. Really, nobody. There's a lot of discussion. Some says it's 120 years. I don't think so. It's not possible. Some said it's 50 years, 60 years. No, I don't think it's possible. It doesn't. The Bible didn't say that it takes that long. But if you could count when God told him to build, and at that time you can count his sons and etc., you can sort of see it took maybe about 25 years or something like that for Noah to build the ark. Right. So here you can see what you are doing between now and this time. What are you going to do? Are you preparing the ark or are you not preparing the ark? Tell me. Are you or are you not? And how are you preparing the ark? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. This is why this picture here that we have seen is important. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul said a very important verse here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed the word of God, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. That means build. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work it out. And now it is your own salvation. So when Noah was building the ark, he was working out his own salvation. He was gathering the wood, the proper kind of wood, and he was just building according to the specs that God has given him, and the measurement, etc. Day by day, he was working. Day by day. Don't think it was easy. And hardly anybody was helping them. Because everybody would be laughing at him. Saying, what are you doing? Nobody believed that a flood was coming. Right? So, Paul says, work out your own salvation. So, today you have to realize that that ark was a kind of salvation for Noah and his family. Now, let us continue to read first. Before we continue, My, we don't have time anymore. Let us read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah being, verse 7, by faith Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen. You know, the Lord would like to warn us. There are many things that's not happening yet, but the Lord would like to warn you ahead of time. Moved with godly fear, we need to remember what Paul says, to work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling, because, hey, the flood is coming. You need to be prepared. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So now you can really see Noah was preparing his own salvation. You know, at that time, Noah believed in God. He was already a just man. Right? And he was perfect in that generation. And he walked with God. Now, tell me, you still need to build the ark? Huh? You think Noah still needs to build the ark? Of course. The building of the ark has much to do with a kind of person that Noah is. Right? In the Old Testament picture, the building of the ark is separated from the life of Noah. The ark is here, Noah is here. But spiritually today, you cannot separate with what you are building from yourself. Because we, the church, we are the building. We are the building. So, in the Old Testament days, the temple is a temple there, and I'm here. Where are you going? I'm going to the temple. But in the New Testament, we are the temple. We're the walking temple. We walk. We are the members of the body of Christ. We are the house of the living God. So it is, you cannot separate it. So that means that in order to build up your own salvation, it has very much to do with the kind of life that you live before God. If Noah was not a just man, and he was not perfect in his generation, and he doesn't walk with God, do you think he can build the ark? No way. No way he's going to build the ark. Not possible. So here, let us continue to read some more verses, and that is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Do we still have time? Yeah, okay. Concerning Noah's ark. Now, it says, Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By which Spirit, that means by the same Spirit, to whom here verse 19 refers to the Spirit, he, that means Christ, at the time of Noah, he went to preach to them. So when Noah was preaching, it was the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit. He preached to them because through Noah, because Noah was a preacher of righteousness at that time. But they didn't believe, so they are now those spirits in prison. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight souls, were saved through water. There is also, now this is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, because the water of baptism cannot wash you, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, before I go into it, before you ask any questions, because there are so much questions here that people will ask. Okay? So, the ark is just like Christ. So when you were baptized, you were put into Christ. So Christ is just like the ark that went through the water, carried by the water. So instead of drowning in water, you were saved in Christ and coming out of the water through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the picture of Christ is actually that ark. So today, in building up this salvation, it is our enjoyment of being in Christ Jesus in reality. Instead of living in your flesh, you are a person living in Christ. You walk with Him. You live by Him. You live through Him. So eventually, the Noah's Ark is a picture of baptism, because through baptism, you are being baptized not into the water, but into Christ. And it was Christ who carries you through the water of judgment. Otherwise, if you are not in Him, you will be judged with the water. But if you are in the ark, you are saved by the ark. So, Peter says there is an antitype of that flood, which is the water of baptism. But it's not the water of baptism that saves you. It is Christ, the ark, that saves you through water. So when you are a believer, when you start believing the Lord Jesus Christ, why do you need to be baptized? It is not a formality. Using Noah's word here, you're entering into the ark. Christ is our ark. Christ is this wonderful salvation, and it has to be built by you, meaning to say that it must be your daily experience, walking with the Lord, following Him, living in Christ. And that is why in the New Testament there are so many verses that says we are in Him. We are in Christ Jesus. Where are you today? Where are you now? Don't say, I'm in Tagaytay. Of course you're in Tagaytay. But you are in Tagaytay in where? In Christ. Many come to Tagaytay to enjoy the nice weather. But what did you come here to Tagaytay for? In Christ. To be in Christ. To enjoy this wonderful salvation and to build that ark subjectively. So together here, we are building the church. The church eventually is the corporate ark. And that corporate ark is nothing less than Christ Himself. Without that, you are saved from eternal damnation, yes. But this 3.5 years here, as a Christian who's still alive on this earth, are you sure you're going to be saved? So, if you are building your salvation, and the ark is done, right at this point, just before the flood came, the door will be closed. You'll be raptured to the throne of God. So you will not have to go through the great tribulation. But if you are not the one building the ark today, you will have to go through the flood. Do you want that? Who wants to go through the flood? So today, we need to build the ark. And the church life today is a real help for us to build our salvation day by day, because we are encouraging each other to grow, to go on with the Lord, to enjoy Christ. And the Word is given to us in a simple and clear way. Right? So you can really see how important it is for us to know the background of Noah. Now, let us just quickly, 5 more minutes. The building of the ark. The building of the ark. Much more, saved by his life, remember that. All these verses you must join together. Here it says, much more saved by his life. And in Philippians it says, work out your own salvation. And in 1 Peter, and also in Genesis 6, build the ark. Now, let us quickly take a look here. According to the Lord's specification, what are the specs? Gopher wood. As a gopher wood, is it a cypress or cedar? The wood that is not corruptible. It will not rot in water, nor by worms. It cannot rot. That signifies the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wood in the Bible, especially cypress wood, signifies the incorruptible humanity of the Lord Jesus. So you have to learn to live by the Lord. Your humanity and my humanity is corruptible. Full of worms. And it rots. But the Lord's humanity is without leaven, without sin. It is pure. That is why we need to eat his humanity. The Lord says, you eat me, you shall live by me. So if you don't eat the Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to get the gopher wood? So you need to eat the Lord to gain the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think it is simple. It is not hard, but hey, you have to do it. Right? It's a type of the humanity of Christ. Just like the tabernacle, it's built also by the cedar, the cypress wood. Right? So here, then it says pitched. Without and within with pitch. The word pitch in Genesis chapter 6, it's the same word as the propitiation cover. So the word cover is the same word as the propitiation, the atonement, the redemption accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here that means you have to enjoy this foolproof redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to enjoy the salvation. Much more saved by his life. So this pitch means here, the second word, pitch, is a noun meaning the price of life, the ransom that the Lord has paid for you. And you have to enjoy it. And this ark is waterproof. The real waterproof. Inside and outside. Meaning to say, the salvation work done by the Lord is really waterproof. It's judgment proof. But you have to learn to use it, to apply it. If you don't apply it in your daily life, and there's a lot of holes there, it's not very good. If you what did Philip Good learn to sing that Tagalog song? There's a hole in the wheels, in the tire. That's right. So, if your ark has a lot of butasa, it's not going to withstand the flood. You have learned, you have to learn to use the proper gopher wood, the cypress wood, and you have to learn to apply the pitch. That means to enjoy and experience the salvation life, the saving life of the Lord. To patch every hole in this ark. If not, and don't use any other means. Don't try to use good works to try to patch. No. You know, people like to use different ways to patch the holes. Don't try to use anything else to patch. But you use this one prescribed by the Lord. And the dimension is 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. You know, the number 3 and number 5 and number 10, these are all very prevalent in the Bible. They have spiritual meaning, meaning to say that number 3 is firstly referring to the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And number 3 also signifies the power of resurrection. The Lord was risen from the dead on the 3rd day. So number 3 signifies the power of resurrection. And remember, Paul says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. We need to overcome death. This is the death water. Right? So here is the ark with so much water. Here's the ark here. And by the way, it is called the ark, not a ship. Because it's not for traveling. It's not going to take you the long ways. No, it's not for traveling. That's why it's called the ark. It's an ark. It's a box. It's a big box. So it's to save you, not to let you travel. Don't go sailing with the ark. It's not for entertainment. It's not for you to have a good time there. No, no. It's not a ship. It's called the ark. The ark is for you to be there just to save you from the flood. Right? So don't go sailing like you're in a yacht. It's not a yacht. It's not a sailboat. The church and this ark is for salvation. And this dimension shows number 5. Number 5 shows the divine responsibility. And number 10 and number 5, the 10, he refers to what? It refers to the 10 commandments. God requires much from us in His Word. So how are you going to bear that responsibility? By enjoying the life. This life will enable you to bear the responsibility. And it is 3 stories high and just 1 window on top. We continue this afternoon or this evening. Right? Do we have time to sing a hymn? Okay. Right.